all you girls out there who think that guy is the hottest thing that ever roamed the earth, please know he's also the best thing that has the best metabolism ever.
Kenzie.
Between the time, calm down, between the time he has a meal and the time he takes a dump is exactly 17 minutes, 14 seconds, and 52 microseconds.
Wait a minute. You've been timing my shits.
I have been timing your shits, and he takes a dump for the longest time.
Really? Really, Kenzie?
It doesn't smell too good.
Moving on swiftly.
Welcome to the Hot Air Podcast Show.
Oh, like, really? Must you call it a podcast show? Just say podcast.
It's both a podcast and a show, my friend.
Come on. You're so old-fashioned. Podcast.
You mean I'm being rhetorical?
What does rhetorical even mean? As you can tell, English is not his first language.
And as you can tell, she is related to me. This is my sister, Nkinzi.
And this is my brother, Gaetano. By the way, Guy, use your real voice.
This is my real voice.
Go on.
Anyway, this podcast show is about this, that, and the other.
Yes, we're going to talk about stuff like culture.
Let's throw in some social issues.
Relationships.
I like that. How about Africanness?
Yes, because this is a show about nonsense with a bit of sense.
Taboos.
Sex.
And everything in between. All right. First of all, you can't start off by telling me you smell my shits, you tie my shits, really. That's just wrong. You and Kinsey, by the way, I remember growing up, you were a girl, and you are still a girl, but you are a boy because you're a bully.
Can you bully? Can you prove it?
No, and Kinsey, I just remember growing up, to be honest with you. You were this girl who was just as if in charge of everything. You know, you wanted to be in control, you wanted, I mean, like, calm down.
Well, when you're born with only brothers, what other options do you have? Do you remember when we used to play cops and robbers? And who was the robber? Me. Y'all were cops. So please, I learned to fend for myself, defend myself, protect myself. Like, yeah.
But you know, interesting. You know, we actually come from a family where there are very few girls.
Manangi. Talk about it.
It's just balls, 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 and more balls.
Bearded beard goats.
Actually, our parents had beards for the... And we look at them and go, wow.
Yeah, and they used to roar like lions. Like whatever the dads would lose their tempers, they would roar like literally like lions. Mm. But guys, see your beard, it's not representing, What's that design again?
What design?
As if I what? As
no,
if,
it's
what?
Called a mature look.
No, boss. You actually do look like a billy goat.
But you know, funny enough, the other day, Dad was telling me that the way I've designed my beard, I say designing because I've cut it in such a way, it reminds him of his father, Yokana, our judge.
Yep.
I've got the same style.
No, boss.
Yokana, this is my father, daddy, yeah. Because we call our parents daddy and mommy.
Excuse me. Your grandfather did not look bloated. You are bloated 24/7, boss. Hey, yes. Look at the way you're sitting. Like, who sits like that?
No, but I mean, growing up, I tell you something. My one of my best experiences is the togetherness that we had as a family.
Yes.
Always getting together despite all the issues. And that was really nice.
And we've been able to maintain that till today.
I don't know.
Guy, look at me. I'm here and I can, sit here and tolerate you. Eh?
No, tolerate.
Yes.
You're tolerating me?
Totally.
It's not love?
No, boss. Don't abuse the word. It's tolerance.
No, at its highest. People have traveled. People have moved. Even though the world is much more connected, we're somewhat disconnected because everybody's on WhatsApp. Everybody's, on digital. The analogness that kept us together, I don't think is...
You know, the thing is that back then we're connected in many ways. We used to write me letters. By the way, I still have some of those letters.
Are you sure?
And you've got the worst handwriting ever.
I still do.
In fact, I was thinking of giving them to you so that you can rewrite them, but I think it won't work.
Yeah.
But anyway, these are things that I'm going to talk about on your next birthday. Aren't you turning 67?
Come on.
Oh, sorry. Oops. Did I just spill your beans?
No. I've been working on my handwriting, but because nowadays everybody's on, like I said, these digital platforms and gadgets, I don't have to do all that. Everything I do is I type. I just type.
Oh,
and I don't write the way I type.
No, the good thing is that actually you've got a better handwriting than me. Because there are others like Tendo, that one, boss, it's the worst. It's the very, very worst. But anyway, moving on. Guy, you know where I was last weekend?
Tell me.
You guys were looking for me, calling me. By the way, stop calling me. Eh? There are times when brothers should never call their sisters. Like between certain hours, like you embarrass me. You, my phone is ringing. It's my brother. What?
What do you mean? I can call you anytime. That's the whole point. Listen, you can't choose your family. We're supposed to be able to call you whenever you want.
Get a life. Call me between, in godly hours, 9 a.m. and like 7:22 p.m.
22?
22. Anything beyond that, don't be just calling me. Hello, where are you? Like, who does that? But anyway, I went to Entebbe with my friends, with my girlfriends. Mm. And so we went to this place. It was a beach, beautiful. But guess what happened? These guys just refused to serve us.
What do you mean refused?
They were just not serving us. Well, we're requesting for a lot of service and we're not getting it. And I just, for the first time, I felt racism in my own country, from my own people.
For the first time?
Well, not... Okay, well, this time I was really taking note.
And of course, being in Kinsey, and Kinsey, I know, you were not too happy, of course.
No, I wasn't. Has it ever happened to you where you go to a place and actually people snob you, eh?
You know, let me tell you something, Kinsey. Unfortunately, this Uganda that we live in is very different from the Uganda I grew up in.
You grew up in times of war. How different is it?
Okay, my point is this. It has happened to me. I was actually with one of our other siblings. And we had gone to a particular place. I won't say the place because I don't want them to get in trouble.
Of course.
And when we were parking, we parked in front of this establishment, but went to the establishment next door. The askari said, hey, you guys can't park over here. It is for our guests. If you are going to come to enter our place, you can park here. But since you're going to the other place, So we're like, you're absolutely right. We got back in the car, moved it somewhere else, and started walking to the other establishment. Gway. Mm-hmm. Then another car came and parked where we had parked. Bazungu, white people, the colonialists. Yeah, they're ones who came and parked. So I told, you know, the brother of ours, I said, wait, I want to see what's going on here. Are they going to that establishment or are they going where we are going? They did exactly what we had done. They parked there but walked to the other establishment. The askari did not say one word. I said, eh?
But why does that happen though? This is exactly what happened. You know, those beaches along Lake Victoria, there's like a whole row of them. Mm. Bazungu were coming in, getting service, getting almost, you know, people kneeling. And then we walked in, nobody wanted to serve us. Do you think it's because we are stingy? We don't give, you know, tips or as big tips as they do? Or do you think it's because we look not very nice to them? Or do you think it's just this kind of Entebbe, because it's been taken over by, because, you know, it's where the airport is. Do you think that it's because there's lots of Bazungu, so we cease to matter?
I think over time what has happened here is that people have realized that where there's a Muzungu, there's probably more money.
But is that true, though?
It's not true.
I've met some really stingy Caucasians. Extremely.
Hey.
Yeah. So, but Guy, let's talk about you. Guy, but Guy, do you give tips?
I know you,
this is the truth. We'll set you free.
I can give you a tip. You buy Honda stock.
No, but Guy, for instance, how many times, no, let me ask, how many times have you taken me out and treated me without complaining? Talking about that, the beer that I'm drinking right now, you have complained and complained and complained.
No, my thing is
so really, stinginess runs in your blood.
No, my thing is this. I will probably give you something extra to a waiter or to whoever it is if they have really done the service well.
What do you mean if they've done the service well?
No, it shouldn't be a rule or something that I must give money. You know,
but shouldn't a tip be a percentage of your bill?
No, it shouldn't. It absolutely
I think
shouldn't.
It should.
Let me tell you something. A waiter gets a salary. Yes or no?
Sometimes no. Some
tipped,
of them.
So-called Indy. Are you tipped because of the job that you do? When somebody goes to the office and you do your job, do they come and say, Kinsey, here's something extra because you did a good job? No, because you get a salary. Why must I give a waiter a tip? Unless they've been extra, extra professional or done something amazing, I might say thank you very much. But if that's your job, I'm very sorry. And maybe Bazungu, they just know, are going to give them those tips. When they see you, Omudugavu, a black person, dark in color, like a shade of a shadow, walking in.
By the way, shadows are beautiful.
They are. Okay.
Shadows are beautiful.
They are.
But now we know why we face racism in our own country, because people like Guy just don't tip.
No. Really. And it's beyond even tipping. They just honestly believe it as if there's some sort of superiority of the Caucasian shade. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, but Guy, honestly, I think we need to tip not just waiters, you know, when you go and get a haircut, a good haircut. But by the way, yours, because you're bald, Like, did you guys know that guy is actually bald? Anyway.
Not bald.
Well, okay. He likes to call it. What do you call it?
I call it, I cut my hair with off. No, we, this is self-racism, black-on-black racism.
Let me ask, is there a difference between the males and the females? For instance, do you feel that women treat you better than the men? Like, look, I have seen women, after you get a haircut and all that, women, those women that massage your heads and all you men start snoring, I just want to swing you blows, eh? No, those women, they take it a bit too far.
Because it's calming, it's relaxing, it makes you feel good.
Of course, you know that we never get any of those massages. Like if it was my good head, I go for a haircut. You think that chick is going to take all that time massaging me and what? No, she won't.
Do you want a man to do it for you instead of a woman?
No, those men are worse. Especially men that do our nails, you know. You go to fix your nails, your toenails. Those guys are here when they are scrubbing. They start low, then they start to come up. Man, sometimes you're like, boss, you want to get to my what? Cage. So I think that sometimes they take it overboard.
Well, look,
and those kind of guys, they deserve a tip or two.
Listen, I don't feel any kind of pressure when it comes to tipping, none whatsoever. But what I don't like is when a black person treats a fellow black person in a certain way just because they feel maybe this person is not going to give them something, or that they feel that the Muzungu is better. You know, therefore they need better service.
But haven't you been taught that way? That, you know, there's, you know, that they're superior and all that. And so we suck up to them. And that's really sad. By the way, that's very, very, very sad.
You know, I'm going to give you another story very quickly in answer to your question. When I first went abroad, the very, very first time, I grew up in Africa. Africa is my continent. It's my home. I love it so much. The culture, the ethnicity, everything about it, the richness. When I went abroad, I went from being the majority, you know, everywhere you look, it's black people, to being
the
only black person in a lecture room in school, in university. Oh, and I was like in shock. But in no way, shape or form did I ever feel less of a person, because I was taught by my parents, Banangi, stand up for yourself. You're just as good, if not better. But nobody is going to come. We're equal in
is
the eyes of God.
Is that why you went into Islam?
Let's not go
was
there.
That nation of Islam? By the way, guy, you know, I've never seen you in a mosque, right? And you do very un-Islamic things.
No.
But anyway.
That's another story for another day, please.
And by the way, we have to bring that story back. Okay. Yeah, I'll better tune into the future podcasts.
I am telling you, going back to what I just said, for me, I was raised to be, we are equal regardless what. I don't treat anybody based on their skin color. Racism was not...
But guy,
and by the way,
no.
Racism was not even there until... The white man came.
But you treat people according to their looks. I've seen you treat cuter girls better.
Oh, come on.
Guy.
No.
Guy.
Please.
I have seen you offer drinks to cute girls and not to the normal looking.
Cuteness is in the eyes of the beholder.
And you, quite a beholder you are. By the way, you're left, you're blind in the left eye.
No, leave me alone, please.
Look at some of your cuteness.
Do you find that you're getting this... Should I say, is there a word for it? Self-on-self racism, the way you ask me, is it mostly men, fellow black men that do it to you, or is it the women that do it to you?
Women don't like me. They like me when I go in and I say hello, but when I turn around and I see my booty, they kind of are, aha. What? Who does she think she is? I'm like, yeah, girl, I'm one with the biggest behind right here. So, you know, and they have a thing against that because maybe the guys, you know, I get the attention of the guys and all that. But I find that men treat me better. But I also, because I've only got brothers, I find that I easier flow with the men.
I see what you're saying. So you believe it is your body that actually is actually your hindrance when it comes to treatment?
Hindrance? You said anything about hindrance, boss.
No, you said women don't like, but men appreciate.
Well, even a few women who've got a bit of manness in them, but you know, but my smile just does the trick. And you know me, guy, I'm always nice to everybody, you know, and guys who nobody talks to, Askaris, like I never miss to have a parking spot in town. Askaris love me. Conductors, but taxi drivers,
so
they always let me go.
So what
it's
you're saying is just because you're
just
a nice
be
person.
Nice to just be nice to people. People will be nice to you.
Yeah, but...
And everybody knows I'm the nicest one in the family.
Oh,
so
please. Oh, my goodness, please. You're not the nicest. Far from it, you know?
Anyway, that we can discuss and we can have people vote, by the way, because they think you're the nice one, but they don't know you're bipolar.
Bipolar?
Yeah.
I'm bipolar?
Yes, guy, you're bipolar. There's the bit that everybody knows and there's the bit that we know.
No. There's the bit that everybody knows about everybody. Look, come on, kids. Let's be honest with each other.
Okay.
There is the person that you are at home and there's the person that you are with other people. At home, people are going to treat you differently because you're family, regardless. But when you go out over there, perhaps you behave or change certain things about you. You can be kind and you're kind regardless. But when you're home, you will say and do certain things that you might not do when you're in public.
First of all, guy, when we're at home, your voice is quite squeaky and annoying. Then as soon as we step out of the voice, you're like, hello, I'm Gaetano. I'm like, look at him. Just vibrate. What? I'm like, then all the chicks are like, oh my gosh. They. I'm like,
please.
Very boring. So, guy, now that we're talking, do you think, for instance, now that we're talking about racist against our own race and all that, do you think that as Africans, for instance, do you think that if a Kenyan came here, a Nigerian, would we treat them different from, you know, a fellow Ugandan?
Uganda is a very welcoming people.
That is true.
We welcome people. I think we're very hospitable.
We're a bit too friendly. We're a bit too friendly, just borders. I don't know. Borders being loose. Like if we're a chick, I think we'd be called a hoe.
Okay, that's going too far, really.
No, we're just too nice. We smile. We just, hello, well done. How is it? Like, we just don't know when to shut up.
You know, I think that is one of the best features or characteristics about Ugandans. In the world that we live in today, man, there's so much negativity and so much uselessness. You know, Europeans, Bazungu, come here and they really love us. Number one, we're hospitable. Number two, we have the best climate. Number three, our food is
And our climate too.
And our climate as well. So, yeah, I think in terms of African countries, I would definitely put us up there as...
I agree.
In the top five.
I agree.
In the top five.
So do you think that we treat other African nations, for instance, nationalities like Kenyans, Ghanaians, Nigerians, Angolans, better than we treat each other? Like I've seen Ugandans fall all over themselves whenever an ogre steps up.
Auntie and ogre has money.
Yeah, they say now, well, by the way, and that's the difference. Y'all, you Ugandan men, you buy in shorts. Say those chaps buy by the bottle. Change your ways.
As we buy in sips.
Maybe they're sipping on like a drink, it even just evaporates osmosis.
I'll be like, I'll buy one sip for you, two sips for you.
And then another chap comes in, Ogan, he buys you a drink, you the man, and your female flock. You
know? I think, yes, we treat others better than we treat ourselves.
Why is that though?
I honestly think so. I guess it goes back again to culture, heritage maybe. Giving, loving people. Very good host. It goes back
but
to what I said
earlier. Better to visitors, better to people that are not our own.
Don't you think
that that's a bit of, we're being hypocritical?
I think hypocritical is a very big word, first of all.
It is.
Can you spell it?
No, how? H-P-Y.
Hippo, Thomas.
No, but honestly, I've seen these guys come and get so much attention. That's why whenever all these guys come, they don't want to go back. I've got Kenyan friends who come and they never want to go back to Kenya. Why? Because a Ugandan woman knelt when she was serving him juice. And he's like, this is heaven.
Yes.
I cannot
actually
live.
Uganda in East Africa, in East Africa, we are seen as the most, for lack of a better word, the party hub, party central. You have Kenyans who come here, Rwandese who come over here. You have people from Burundi, Tanzania, and they say Uganda is the place to go if you really want to have a good time.
Right.
You understand? So I think that also plays part of it.
But do you think that is because we are happier or do we just fake it?
You know, we've got so many problems in this country, like in any country for that matter, but we have a good time. And when people come from outside countries, we want them to blast with us. And we want to eat their money also.
That is true. That condition, I think we're bipolar. I think it has a name, you know, where people are just so nice. People are facing so many issues. But then when they riot, they're just having a blast. And I think that we've learned to even make fun of things that make us suffer, like of our hard conditions. We just make fun of them and we're able to laugh about them.
We are able to laugh at ourselves.
Yes.
This is very important.
And at our hardships.
Yes. If you don't do that, my friend, you are finished.
But for how long shall we laugh for?
For as long as we're alive.
And you know, I have a feeling that that's because of where we've been as a nation. Mm. We've been through a lot of wars, and we've been through a lot of issues, but that we've learned to just, you know, take a mic, just laugh, just learn to stop and laugh and enjoy life.
If you can take that breath, if you can take that moment to actually absorb all of these things, I think you'll have a much better life and stress-free and avoid things like heart attacks.
That is true. That is true. Talking of... By the way, let's first go into a break. So Guy, okay, so I know that as Africans and as Ugandans, we're saying that, okay, we're very nice and all that, but we also have similarities, quite a few similarities. For instance, we point with our mouths. But it's an African thing. You're like, you go there and then you point with your mouth. You go there and then you turn there.
It's called pulling lips. You pull your lips outward, inwards. You're pointing at somebody, you turn like this.
Yes. But has anyone ever pulled their lips at you?
Oh, yes. All the time. All the time.
Who is that who you keep annoying?
No.
Apart from me.
Well, actually, my mom even used to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
She rest in peace. She'd look at you and she'd do something with her lips and you know you're in trouble.
Yes.
You know, we have that commonality, I think, in many African countries. Those similarities that we have. Pulling of lips. Then there's this one.
You're not even doing it with boss. It's like this. And it just keeps going on and on. And you're like, is she breathing? Is she breathing? Are they breathing?
You go to African countries and you hear that. But what does it mean? What does that sound mean? If you were to say the definition of what would it be?
I think it would be...
You see, there is no definition of pulling lips like that.
I mean, I'll take you through my mouth, through my gums, and spit you out.
Is that what it means? I'm telling you. And there's different types of... There's a short one. The long one.
I think that is, man, how can you do that to me? Or it can be like, man, you're disgusting. Oh, man, foolish.
I heard the saliva in that one.
And then there are those animated ones, like Choka Guy.
You know, I've always had a problem with that one.
Why? You don't know when to apply it.
I don't know when to apply it.
Like someone can come and say, Guy, man, that guy. And then that's a full sentence.
You know, okay, so we have these similarities that actually make us the same, and yet we are so different.
Like, let me ask you, what does mean?
That can mean many things.
Uh-huh,
the tone. There's of, can you believe it? I can't believe you just did that.
Mm.
Then there's of, wow.
I know. That one is yours, eh? But then there's that one of, it even has an after sound.
The exclamation mark. What does that one mean?
That man means no words can describe, explain what that one means. You just have to be an African to understand it. That's all.
Then one thing that I heard in our homes when we were growing up was just that sound of, hey, is everything okay? Mulimutia.
Yeah.
What the hell? You can have a conversation with just mms the whole afternoon or the whole evening.
Do you remember the way we greet? Actually, we still greet like this. You're like, oh, hey, we'll do a blunji.
Hey, greeting takes half an hour.
Beautiful, but it's beautiful because it's just, how are you? We're fine. And you? Fine.
So, okay, we're talking about similarities here. We're talking about differences. Africa is made of how many countries? 54.
Imagine.
54 countries. Mm-hmm. Beautiful countries for that matter. Even though for some reason a lot of outsiders believe that Africa is one and the same.
Yes.
Hey, I have a cousin of mine in Somalia. His name is Abud Akbad.
Do you always know him? Say, yes, I know him. He lives in the tree next to mine. It's always crazy. But you know, so those are the similarities. But do we have any differences?
Yes.
Like what?
We have a lot of differences.
Like what?
Africa.
You see, now you have to think about it very hard.
Well, languages.
Well,
Our languages have our differences in case.
No, not really. For instance, the Bantu, if you went to Zambia, if you went to South Africa, and you know, the Zulu, when they speak, you can actually hear certain words and you can connect it.
Yeah,
our languages may be the difference, but they're also the similarity.
Okay, in Uganda, I'll use Luganda as an example. Water is?
Amazi.
In Lesotho, Southern Africa, it's metsi. Amazi, metsi. There's a similarity.
Right.
In Lesotho, again, the language is Sesotho. For meat, they say nama.
Nyama.
And here, we say nyama.
Okay, let me ask you. Okay, for children, abana.
Bana.
Do you see?
That's bana in Sesotho.
Okay, and how would you say something like, for instance, emere?
Adijo. That one's different.
Oh, that one is different, eh? Okay, and how would you say something like, I don't know, cat, kappa?
Kappa is... Hey, I've forgotten that one.
Don't say puss cat. I'll know you're lying.
We say meowy.
Guy, that's a remix.
Okay, to be honest with you, I've forgotten that one.
You see, what about a dog, embwa?
A dog is nja.
Nja. Okay, nja. Give me a few similar words. Or you ask me.
Okay.
Yes.
In Sesotho, they would say something like, car is koloi.
Oh, koloi, motoka.
Koloi, motoka. That one is different.
Okay.
That one is very different.
Okay.
Breast,
ebere. How would you say that?
I never used that. I was very polite.
No,
so
but you can ask mama bere. Or maybe.
That one, I'll be honest with you, I never touched. I left it alone. I actually learned swear words first when I was...
I thought so. But yeah. Okay, let's start with body parts. Nose, nyindo.
Nose was matlo.
Maso. Matlo is maso.
There you go. Matlo was eyes.
Amaso.
So you see, again, there is that similarity you're talking about Bantu languages. So there is a similarity, but like we just said, there's also many differences within the different languages.
Right.
So, you know, that is, I think for me, a very key thing in saying we are rich in language and different. Even though there's similarities, there's lots of differences.
Yes. No, that is very true. Now, let's talk about culture. What about culture? There's certain cross-cutting cultural practices. Where, you know, you don't need to be... You know, for anybody to tell you what's going on for you to understand it or to overstand it, for that matter.
Respect for elders. Respect for elders is something...
Things like never look at your elders direct in the eyes.
How?
You're disrespecting
them.
What
are you talking about?
Don't look at them in the mouth either.
You'll disrespect the ancestors. No, for real. That is something across African countries I've seen. Elders. Mm. I don't know if it's being watered down now, especially with the digital age, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
But the respect for elders...
And the whole, you know, a child is raised by the neighborhood kind
by
of
the
thing.
Community.
And the community.
The village.
The village, yes. Mm. We've lost that though. Because right now, if my son did something and walked out of home, you know, and got spanked by the neighbor for doing something terrible, police, what? Flying squad, Marines.
The SEAL team.
I'm telling you. But that's very sad because, Guy, remember when we were growing up, if you did something at home, the whole village would punish you for it.
This is true.
As you walk with this your walk of shame, you know, they send you to the market. The neighbor comes. I heard that you stole a goat. You will be beaten by the neighbor.
This is true.
Beaten by the shopkeeper. Beaten by the, you know, the guy at the well, the well attendant. But now we don't have that anymore.
But you see, what has happened is this, in my belief, the world has become so, it has become so rigid. Because of how we are so connected, but at the same time, I don't want my child going across and playing with the neighbors because I don't know what they're up to.
But then isn't that sad though?
It is sad. Before you could sleep or leave your house open, quote unquote, more open. Nowadays, you're putting up walls.
Yes, and huge ones.
Huge walls.
With those, what?
Wires and
all that.
There's
even
assassins on top with sniper guns. But my thing
and
is
warnings
this,
of dogs that,
warnings
you know.
Warnings of dogs. We have lost that togetherness. Because the world has become so ostracized within itself.
That is sad.
Do you know what I mean?
That is very sad.
And even though we copy many things from the Western world, within our own African communities, we have taken what we've seen in the Western world of borders and making them a lot stricter. Yes, we need borders because we need to be independent, blah, blah, blah. But the borders have become more narrower to within our own neighborhoods and families.
Why do you think that's so, though? Is it because we have so many, like a lot of migration, like today you have a new neighbor, tomorrow it's a brand new one, tomorrow, is it because of that? Because of course you wouldn't let children play with somebody you're not sure of, because we also have a lot of, you know.
Yeah, because there's lots of evil out there.
Exactly.
There's lots of ills.
Exactly.
There's lots of selfishness. There's also lots of greed. Things have changed, my friend. This is not the same world that our parents grew up in or their parents grew up in. This is a brand new world that we are all trying to figure out.
The new normal of do not let their children go out into the neighborhood.
I would not even call it the new normal. I would call it the new abnormal. Because this is not how we're supposed
actually,
to be.
Actually, I like that. I like that. I like that you call it abnormal. Yeah. Because actually, in so many ways, it really is abnormal.
Yeah.
So are there things that you miss that we used to do that our kids are not doing?
Well, for example, I miss children just going out over there and playing. Playing.
Yes.
Go out over there, break a leg.
And just being
when
children.
When I say break a leg, I don't mean literally, but just go out there and have fun. Get dirty, you know?
Get dirty. And who is buying that soap? Boss. We buy.
I use dirty as a metaphor now.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay?
Good.
As a metaphor, go out over there and enjoy the world. Climb a tree.
Play in the rain.
Play in the rain.
By the way, guy, you know that I still kind of play in the rain. When it rains and it's, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes. This is something that I've done since for
children. And who washes your clothes?
Know. Me. But the thing is, I don't roll in the mud. I actually unleash the clothes and play in the rain. But then you should try it. It's very therapeutic,
no, please,
too.
No.
It is fantastic.
No, it's okay.
When was the last time you actually stood in the rain and just let it, you know, hit you, you know,
no,
nourish your body and soul?
No.
See, that's the thing, and that's the difference between you and I still have a child in me. You're guilty.
No,
you're a guilty adult.
By the way,
roaming the earth.
I believe that I am one of the most childish people I've ever met. But Nkinzi, you're actually stepping away from our earlier conversation where we had started all of this. We were looking at racism within Uganda, within ourselves as Africans, generally speaking.
Mm.
But I know for a fact that, you know, you've traveled abroad.
Yes.
You've been to the white man's land. You know, you've got white friends, in fact.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
Lots of them.
You know, so I don't understand. Does one actually have to travel outside to understand that you don't have to sort of have this self-hate towards your own fellow-skinned people or whatever? For goodness sakes, you have many white friends.
Guy, I've even dated a few white people.
I was not asking you.
No, but I've got to tell you. No, because since...
Kinzi, I don't want to hear about who you did.
Listen,
all the
since
gory details.
You have decided we go into details, Kinzi, I might... Okay, let me tell you just one story.
I said
just
you
one.
Have white friends. Don't tell me about your... I don't want to know.
Let me tell you. You're my brother, but there are certain things you need to know. So I get to the Netherlands.
Oh, no.
I get to the Netherlands. Yay! And of course, you know, in the Netherlands, everybody's tall. Me, I don't know
because I've never been there.
Okay, well, I'm broad. Okay, I am broad and everyone there is tall. So I didn't have many white guys hit on me, however.
Oh, no. Come on, man.
I had it.
Had what?
It. That was his name. It. Say it. Oh, anyway, okay, maybe you don't have to say it. Anyway, but it, for some reason, he was very entertained by my, you know.
Blackness.
Yeah. Well, maybe blackness, maybe curves. You know, I'm built for comfort. And many of these guys, you know, they can't handle this stuff. But anyway, so I had it on my case.
Please don't tell me this.
And I have to tell you. But there are so many things that are so different. So it and I met. And one day, I invited him in for coffee. And I literally meant coffee. Actually, I said tea.
Are you making this up?
No, of course not.
Are you making this up?
But this is a story you've never heard.
No, I have never heard of it.
So anyway, he comes in. I said, you know, he gave me a ride. He gave me a ride from Amsterdam to Den Haag, to you know, The Hague. And I said, would you like to come in for tea? And he first thought about it and he smiled and he said, yes, of course. Now, I didn't know what that means. Now, I'm just showing you that certain things are not, you know, be here, you invite people in for tea because, you know, that's the friendly thing to do. But there, I invite him in for tea. The chap comes in, I go to boil the water, blah, blah, blah. I come back to ask him which flavor of tea he would like to have that
day. How many flavors did you have?
Boss, I had like four. But don't ask me hibiscus. I don't know what. You know. So
black, white.
Yeah, blue, green. So I come in to ask him which flavor he would like, and I find it naked in my living room. And I said,
wait.
No.
I want to pause for silence for dramatic effect.
Why? Why?
No.
Guy, you've got to be.
Kinzi.
See, that's why I don't tell you my things. That's why I don't tell you my thing.
So you had a white man naked in your...
You know, the hairs.
So funny.
Anyway, I find him naked in my living room. I said, boss, what has happened to your clothes? Then he told me, you invited me in for tea. And for me, that's an invitation that, you know, let's get it on. I said, get what on?
Get it on.
So there I am with a cup in one hand, keto in one hand, a tea bag, like 40 bags. And I'm in shock. But guys, you see like how we misinterpret certain things. Like you go and invite someone in for tea and they think you're inviting them in for a booty call.
So Et wanted to get Et on.
Yes. Yeah. If you put it that way. If you put it that way. And it was a very, very, it was a very strange thing. But for me, it taught me that there's certain things that we Africans do that mean, oh, let's be friendly. And for them, it's let's get Et on. So there was me, my flask, hot water, tea bags, and a naked white man. And a naked white hairy man. By the way, they have quite a few hairs in places you wouldn't imagine.
I don't want to.
You have not seen her. But guy, you're talking about me, but I know about you. Tell us, how was it?
How was what?
How was it?
How was it?
No. Of course, maybe not it in this case, but you've been with a few, you know, non-black. I know you.
Look.
Just tell us how it was.
When I was a blood.
Yes.
In outside countries.
Yes.
Yes, you know, I was a young man. Of course, there was several, one or two times.
No, maybe 12 or 14. Yes.
That I did. But... Anyway, but, okay, I want you to finish your story first.
My question is...
No, if you first finish your story...
My story has ended. Et and I were naked. He was naked in my living room. I was fully clothed, by the way.
So you told him to get dressed and he left?
Yeah, I said, boss, what are you doing? He said, but you invited me in for tea here. When you said tea, you know, it's let's get it on. And I said, well, you can get it on in your car. Go, be gone. But again, for me, just showed me that there's certain things that differ. When you invite someone in for coffee, do they actually think it's coffee or is it cafe?
But you see, I've heard of that before, not specifically with coffee or tea, but when you tell somebody come in for a nightcap or the last drink, I don't know what it's called, but it's a term that's used, a nightcap. Would you like to have a nightcap? And a nightcap can be interpreted into something different. Have you ever heard of that term, a nightcap?
Is it different from night nurse? Because you know when you have a cold, we said night nurse. Can I just call it a night nurse? Would you like a night nurse?
I mean, you could say night nurse, I guess. Would you like to be nursed into the night? I don't know. But
because it sounds like cold cup, night nurse. All those are flu medications. So what flu would you be intending to treat?
With a nightcap?
Yes, nightcap, night nurse. No, but wait. Now that we're talking about it, has it ever happened to you? Nightcap. Have you invited somebody in for a nightcap? And have they actually come in? And how different is it here in Uganda and in those outside countries where you are?
Well, you know, here, you when you go out for a date with somebody and they come back to your place, and sadly enough, there's expectations. There's just expectations that people are going to have.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Well, isn't it?
I don't know. You're the man, you're saying.
I don't know about Denmark and whatnot, but just there's this general thing where you say, come back and have
a nightcap or a night nurse.
But my thing is this. Okay, so that was Denmark, all right?
Netherlands.
For me, oh, sorry, isn't it the same?
But auntie, I've been to all. So
Netherlands and Denmark, and they're the same country.
Boss, okay, we shall have a show on me teaching you geography.
Netherlands and Denmark, same place?
No, of course not. Netherlands, Copenhagen. Denmark, Copenhagen. Netherlands, you know, Holland, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, red light district, you know?
Damn.
I know. And you never came to visit me, by the way. But that's a story for another day.
I didn't have money.
You never have money, but go on.
I have been with a woman of another race.
Okay.
And my very first experience, because I'm not a person who sees color. I'm a person who sees a person for who they are. Your heart.
And must I also say that sometimes you can be quite blind, but go on.
That's besides the point.
Okay.
So my very first interracial, is that the right word to use?
I don't know. Where are we going with this?
My very first interracial experience.
Was she blonde? You know you have had a few blonde moments yourself.
No, she was not blonde.
Do you know the color of her hair?
Actually, she was blonde.
I've got to ask you, before you go on with this story, when they're blonde, is everything about them blonde? No, like are all other hairs blonde?
Oh, come
blonde?
On,
like, is
Kizzy,
it all blonde?
Really?
Look, I don't, how come would on. I know? How come would on, I man. Know?
Let me ask you a simple question. You have black hair on your
yes,
head.
And it's black all over. But my question is, when you're blonde, is it blonde all over? Like armpits blonde, what? Blonde, blonde, blondish blonde. Well, like are their toe hairs blonde?
Come on.
I don't know.
Let's just say she's the same all over, okay?
Oh, they're goodness. Same. Go on. Brother, you need counseling, but go on.
This is weird talking to my sister about my sexual experience. But anyway, yeah, so without going into too much detail because...
Yeah, please spare me.
Yeah. So it was very...
blondish?
Let me just say, not blondish. It was, let me just say, black women compared to white women, give me a black woman any day.
Boss, maybe because you don't know which language to use. The thing is, you're too black in yourself. The things you do are extremely black.
What do you mean?
Have you seen the way you dance, for instance?
Please, let's not...
No.
In case we were talking about... I'm too black? But now you're the one who's being racist against me.
By the way, you dance off beat. Actually, I think you're white in your dance. Okay. But I've met some Caucasians with beat.
That's
who
different
can dance and show you a move or two.
And that is the same when it comes to this whole horizontal entertainment. I think black women, generally speaking, are a lot better than white women.
What do you mean? How so?
More rhythm.
I'll give you an example. Guys say, oh my gosh, you know, the blacker you go, the bigger than you mean. But let me tell you, I've seen a few, you know, black
You've
people
seen what?
With... I've heard.
A few
people have
Wait
told
a
me. No, and then you can find the black chap who can...
Your parents sent you to school and this is what you learned.
No, but these are things you meet out there in the world. So there's certain things where it can't apply.
Does mommy and daddy know about this?
No, you meet a black chap and he's like tinky winky. And then you meet a white chap and he's like long dong mandingo.
Mandingo.
Like, yeah, mandingo.
Mufasa.
Yeah. But what were the differences? Like, for instance, what were the things? Because you say a black woman anytime.
Well,
why is that?
A black woman, like I said, has just more rhythm. There is more, and please excuse the pun, there's more ocean. There's more motion in the ocean. There's just there's the way. Eh?
Uh-huh.
And I
motion in ocean.
Not.
Man, you're even sounding poetic.
No, it's just that a black woman understands a fellow black man. Don't get me wrong. It's good to try and catch or taste other fish. Is that the right word to say?
Other fish. No, you're sounding like your prawns.
No.
Tilapia, Nile perch.
It's good. It's good to be able to try
just
different
cuisine.
Flavors. Cuisine? I don't know. When you're describing sex with your sister, it doesn't exactly come out the best way. I don't know how to put it.
And you may want to spare me a few of those details.
All right.
I just think you have met the wrong white people.
And don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's some very good... Don't get me wrong. I've seen and I assume that they're in a certain way into how they do the certain things. But, you know, I'm not going to go and just try everything, sample everything. But from where I was when I was a younger person, the white lady that I was with was yeah.
Anyway, I also have a confession. Can I make it? If looks could kill. Look, like you, I am more attracted to black men.
I hope.
But the thing is with me, Ugandan men kind of don't get me. I think I'm a bit too much for them. Like you've said, you've even just said things like, oh, when you're growing up, you're bullying, just blocking my ways on air.
Tread very carefully. Okay? Ugandan men don't get
no,
you,
they don't get
or
me.
You don't
and,
get...
Oh,
I think the problem here is that you don't get your
please,
fellow
I
Ugandan
get
man.
Chaps. I get chaps very easily. In fact, it's like
wait
in
a minute,
the first
now,
3 seconds
so
I get
easy.
Them. No, I'm not that easy.
You're easy.
But West
maybe
African
we should stop here.
Men,
you're easy?
West African chaps, they get me. Because they can handle strong women. I am strong. You say that in the intro.
So Ugandan men can't handle you because you're strong?
Yes.
So what are you saying? I'm weak?
Yes.
What?
Okay, so the thing is this. When men meet a strong woman, they think that, oh my goodness, she's so strong, I can't handle her.
And West African men are how different?
Hey, boss, that chap puts you in your place, eh? He says, I told you, we are going to drink pepper soup. You say nothing. Have you ever seen me say nothing? I say nothing. I make, you, guy, you know I don't drink pepper, so I don't even eat chili on a normal day. But a West African man will make me drink a bowl of pepper soup.
Okay. So you, according to Nkinzi, Ugandan men do not get you.
No, they don't.
Are not strong enough for you.
No, I chew them and spit them out. Of course, there are a few outliers, of course.
Now you're chewing
and spitting them out. Yes. There are a few outliers. But you see, also the fact that I've had all you brothers, all your, like, I'm a no-go zone for all
obviously,
your friends, all your friends' relatives, all your friends' neighbors. Like, I'm a no-go zone for the whole
absolutely,
country.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So how does that benefit me?
It's not about benefiting you. It's about keeping you, you know,
blocked.
I'll tell you this though. As a brother of yours and our brothers, we obviously want to make sure you're protected. Obviously, we want you to get, you know, a man and get married. Of course, you've got children, and that's fantastic. But my thing is this. We Ugandans, you say we are weak. We're not weak. Maybe we're sensitive. And that's a good thing.
Sensitive with a bit of entendre. Do you know what that is, though? What is entendre in English, by the way?
I have no idea. That's why I was quiet.
So, guy, having lived in the US for a few years, 7, 8 years, by the way, no wonder your accent never changed.
Understood that thing. Somebody goes to outside countries for 2 days or 2 years and they come back with an aksa. Mine stayed the same.
Guy, you stayed original, not even original. So my question to you is this, right? So you must have dated a few African Americans. And here I know you have dated a few original, you know, African chicks. Is there a difference?
Yes.
Tell me.
African Americans are more experimental.
Guy.
Yes.
I have friends. We experiment.
Yeah, okay,
they experiment. Me, I'm just an, you know, bystander.
Please.
But they're experimental.
I hope you're just a bystander.
Bystander proper. So when you say experiment, what do you mean? They make you swing on chandeliers, what?
Oh. The very first time I was with an African American, the things that woman did to me.
So they're freaky.
For lack of a better word.
So are you saying that we're not freaks by nature?
I think Ugandan or maybe African women, because I've not been with that many, so maybe I have my pool of recollection for you to be able to decipher something out is too small. I don't know.
But you're my most traveled brother, so really you're representing the men in my life.
I think we are more conservative.
Having though?
Having said that though, Nkinzi, I could be wrong. You know, I say conservative, but you know when the door closes, what happens behind closed doors can be very different. Somebody can be conservative and then, woo! So I don't know.
I was about to say a ventilator opens, but clearly you're not on that tangent.
Ventilator? Are you mad? So, generally speaking, I just think African women, I think are just more conservative than African American.
Let me tell you why.
An African American woman will tell you, I want you to do this. And they talk a lot. But now they talk a lot.
Bambi, we also talk a lot.
It comes
with our training. It comes with our training. We are trained talk, what? You know, there are different kinds of talks. There's talking with your nose, you talk with your mouth, and you talk with your throat. But I won't break that down
right now.
No, of course I won't.
Please don't.
I will not. But listen, my question to you is, what were some of the most outstanding differences? Because when you say we're not freaks, it's because of men. Because when, and I have heard from some of my friends, that when they tell you,
No.
You don't know them. They're summers. So my friends have told me that when they ask Ugandan men for certain things, they're like, who taught you? Where did you learn it from? These friends that you're walking around with are teaching you. You ask us too many things, then we get punished for knowing and wanting things. I've told you, me Ugandan chaps can't handle me. You tell him, don't play in this. Then he's like, who told you that? Why is it you are behaving like that? Oh, it must be this friend Linda or this friend Carol. I told you to stop walking with Rita.
What's your question?
My question, which you have not answered, is you've said they're freaky. Does that make them better?
I wouldn't say better, but it just opens your eyes up more.
Which eyes?
The eyes on your forehead. The eyes in your head.
So now that you've dated African Americans and all that, yeah?
And now that you've also dated Netherlandese.
Yeah, well, let's just call them Dutch. But I haven't really dated because that was a one-off.
You had a naked eat man standing in your living room.
Yes, he stood and he... He stood and did the walk of shame. Okay. And I learned from that day, never invite a man back for a night nurse.
Or a night tea.
Or a night tea, a night coffee, a night cup, a night ice cream, a night anything.
Good for you.
But although, even when you invite them over for a midday snack, they still think it's that.
Yeah, so sad. I don't understand those men. Anyway, those are your things.
And I would like to think that you, as my brother, you're not among those kind of men.
Never. Never, 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 never. Let me answer your question now, which is?
Which is, what is the difference? Apart from freaky.
Well, you know, African-American women, again, just more adventurous. They just have, a lot more, je ne sais quoi. Let's go into areas that you've never thought even existed. And African women, generally speaking, I don't think are like that. And maybe the world has changed. Maybe they are nowadays, the younger generation. I don't know.
By the way, we are like that when it comes to, you know, non-African men. We're able to express ourselves better because we know that there's less judgment.
Oh.
Yes. So I think it's a two-way thing where we're able to, you know, be able to express ourselves better with non-African men because we know that they won't think, oh my gosh, she's freaky. Oh my gosh, we're a freak of nature.
And again, you're speaking about your friends, yes?
Of course. And my friends' friends also. My friends are good. Mm. My friends' friends, however, are the problem.
Do you think, though, when we talk about now just even... the whole racism thing, going back to what we spoke about earlier on. There are not many, I assume, blacks or black people living in the Netherlands. For you to be able to say you were treated differently by black Netherlands as opposed to white Netherlands. Is that even the right word to use?
Well, you see, for me, no, it's not the right word, but I'll let that go for now. I understand what you're trying to tell me, my brother. And English isn't your first language, so I will let
you slide. It came on a boat.
Yes. I think that generally, and this is the weirdest thing, it is so weird because I felt like black people in the Netherlands who are not African, like from the islands and all that, treated me a bit worse than the white people.
Really?
Yes. Huh. And I have a feeling that it's the same way with African Americans towards Africans. Because I felt it in the U.S. I felt like African Americans were judging me for, I don't know, their ancestors getting caught and putting them on ships and transporting them as slaves. And I felt like white people were nicer to me than my fellow black people, African Americans.
You strike a chord which is very similar with me as well. Because when I was in the U.S., initially I kind of felt that until they really got to know me. It was almost, you know, like, oh my goodness, this African, who does he think he is?
Yes.
Secondly, they speak better. Apparently, we speak better.
We speak proper
English.
Yes.
Apparently, I did not know these things.
And we perform better in school. We have better grades. Mm. We are better employees. We don't pull out our hair and over be dramatic about situations. And I have a feeling they've got something against us, which is very sad because we're all black. So where does this oneness come together? Like, I'm not the slave trader. I did not, you know, catch your relatives and sell them off. Can we just be one and work together?
Because even the phrase, go back to Africa, go back to your country.
Wilderness.
I've heard it from... Not from black Americans. I've also heard it from white Americans.
Yes.
Let's be honest. It's not just one side. It makes you honestly feel like, do we really need to have this kind of animosity towards each other? You know, can we just, in the words of this man who was beaten by the police, this American, can we all just get along?
Who? Which American? But we'll let that one go. But because I know that your memory, and you did not eat your, you know, watermelon seeds for memory. But the thing is that the takeaway for me today is, can't we just love each other regardless of color?
True. I mean, at the end of the day, we are all humans.
Yes. And if you want your Ugandan woman from Butambala to be freaky, tell her. I'm sure she's got a few freaky ideas. Tell her, I want you to swing me off a branch, swing me off a bulb, electrocute me.
What?
No, but those are the things that you're saying, okay, African Americans.
I think we need to have a conversation out of this conversation about some of the things you are thinking. Really?
No, but all I'm saying is, can we just love each other, accept each other, and just be one?
Yeah.
Tolerance.
Love each other for who we are, regardless of skin.
Yes.
You know, they say black is beautiful.
And it is.
And it is. White is also beautiful.
It is.
You know, brown is beautiful.
And so is pink.
Okay, really?
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. But what I'm saying is that beyond skin color is a person, is a soul, is a human. Mm. And it's okay to love that person for who they are without looking at their skin. Mm. And I know that we like to joke around, you know, that was a blonde moment. But it could have also been an Afro moment.
Could have been an Afro moment.
You know?
If you had a choice of being with a, now this is just for if you had a choice, if you had a choice of being with a particular race, or who would it be, apart from blacks?
There's a difference. So I'll tell you what, Caucasians love more. When they love, by the way, those guys will love you, even if you're picking your nose they will love you. They love.
Okay.
But when they stop loving you, they stop. There's like no two ways about it.
So stop
they
beating around the bush. Yes. I'm telling you, which you one
love,
asking?
Candy,
ooh,
ice cream,
for goodness sakes.
I think I would be the Pope's assistant. If you take black away, what am I left with?
Eh?
Yeah.
Pope's assistant.
Pope's assistant.
You know what? Let me not even go into the religion. Please.
Oh, sorry. But what I mean is that I would rather, you know, why did you omit the blacks?
Because I know, obviously, you're going to say blacks. I said apart from blacks, because I know you'd go with blacks first. Again, nothing
anyway,
to
anybody
do.
Who can swing and sway and have rhythm, maybe Latinos, but they've got fairy tempers. Ah. So maybe not Latinos. It would probably be, you know, maybe Italians, maybe.
Oh.
Maybe.
So basically Caucasians.
Right? Mafias.
Idiot. I think, for me, Asian.
Yeah. You've already said a thing for Asians, Malaysia, truly Asia, what. Yeah, I know you. But the thing is this, we are also quite close to, for instance, Japanese. I know Japanese women kneel when they're greeting. They cook, they kneel. So there's so many similarities, for instance, between a lot of our African culture and Japanese women. So I think when you say Asian, I think you're talking Japanese, because I know you like matoke, you like people who kneel, you like what.
Let me tell you something. Kneeling is nice.
Have you ever knelt for anyone?
Kneeling is nice.
You see?